Welcome everybody to a special edition of the Bucko Cast. What's happening? Josh Taylor here. You've probably heard my voice before as a frequent guest here on the Bucko Cast, where we're mixing things up a little bit. We're doing something a little bit different. Jason has asked me to host a special segment, so now I'm in the host chair for a change here on the Bucko Cast, and a little bit of a special segment we're going to do every week called the Table Setter. Now I have to start this first edition of the Table Setter with a little bit of a confession. I was planning to actually do this podcast this Monday morning. Today is April 8th, but as luck would have it, things got kind of crazy. So I said, oh, I'll watch the game this afternoon with the Pirates and the Cubs, and then I'll do the Table Setter afterwards. Wow, did I pick a great day to wait, because things did not go the Pirates' way at Wrigley Field in the first game of that series of three against the Cubs. 10-0, the final score in that one. Jameson Taillon. Looked like things were going great till we got through the second inning, got two outs through, and then everything just kind of fell apart. It started with an error with two outs by Kevin Newman, and it turned into a six-run inning. And then after that, things just kind of fell apart from there, and the Pirates never recovered. Taillon gets hit in the head with a line drive, but stays in, finishes the inning. He ends up being okay, but a couple really scary moments there for the Pirates as they start this series with the Cubs. We will talk a little bit more about this series. We'll give you a matchup to look out for as this series goes into its final two games. An off day on Tuesday, and then they play Wednesday and Thursday. So we'll give you a matchup to look at as that series goes along. In the meantime, a couple of things we want to talk about. We will start with some of the things that occurred last week before we look forward to the week of April 8th. So we will start with the line of the week from last week. I have two players I want to point out. One line speaks for itself, and that player is Josh Bell. During the week of April 1st through April 7th, Josh Bell 7-for-21 at the plate, three doubles, two home runs, both of which were absolutely tattooed, seven runs batted in. He walked twice. So that's a slash line last week of 300 batting average, 400 on base percentage, 762 slugging percentage. That's an 1162 OPS, just an outstanding week for Josh Bell. And by the way, one of those home runs, that 474-foot mammoth blast. We'll talk about the circumstances surrounding that one in just a couple of moments. The other line I want to talk about, Melky Cabrera, a guy whose acquisition to this team probably did not impress a lot of people. He is a veteran guy. I was one of the people that believed that I didn't think he would have a lot of impact as a starter. I thought he'd be a good enough guy to maybe fill in for that month to maybe 6 weeks while Gregory Polanco got himself together. I thought he'd be a good fourth outfielder, a guy that can provide some good veteran experience, maybe play well off the bench, maybe play a couple days here and there, not start every day. Well, then as luck would have it, Lonnie Chisenhall gets injured. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So Melky Cabrera thrust into that starting right field role, and he's actually done pretty well. And then this past week, 467 was his batting average, 7-15 at the plate, couple of doubles, three RBIs, and a walk. And here's the thing with Melky Cabrera. During that same time period, he had a 500 on base percentage, and a running joke that I've got going right now, if you follow me on Twitter, at JoshTaylorHD, with Melky Cabrera, every time he gets on base, I use the same hashtag, get bases. I look at Melky Cabrera, I think get bases like I think Junior Mafia, get money, from about 20 years ago, maybe 24 years ago, with that single and that album. But I look at Melky and I think hashtag get bases, and that's all he's been doing in a Pirate uniform. But we know he's a guy that can draw some walks. We know he's a guy that can hit at a somewhat average to slightly above average level. His career has at least shown us that. He continues to just hashtag get bases for the Pirates as things go along. So if you see that hashtag from me as the season progresses, you know I'm talking about Melky Cabrera. Pitcher's week in review. I want to go over one pitcher's performance specifically. We'll do that every week, whether it's a starter or a reliever. This week I pick a reliever because I thought this was interesting given his first appearance and then the three that followed them. And the pitcher in question is Richard Rodriguez. I think this is a guy who everybody had a lot of expectations for coming into this season after the year he had last year. With me, it was kind of caveat emptor. I thought it was let the buyer beware because some of the experience he had last season where he was able to really thrive, it was mostly lower leverage situations. He really wasn't thrust into situations where the game was necessarily on the line, but he's going to be counted on more and expected to handle more higher leverage situations. That first appearance last week against St. Louis on April 1st, faced four batters, did not record an out, gave up two hits, three runs, two of them earned, including a home run. But here's the interesting part. I talked about how his week started badly, but here's how it got progressively better. His next three appearances, all against the Reds, he threw a clean inning three times. And by clean, I mean did not give up a run, scoreless, didn't give up a hit. He gave up only one walk in those three innings and struck out three batters. Also got the save on Sunday in that series finale against the Reds to wrap up the four-game sweep against Cincinnati. So a really rough start to the week, but a really great finish by Richard Rodriguez. And he talked about it after Sunday's game. He talked about how he really needed to get his confidence back. And Clint Hurdle was one of the people that was really instrumental in doing that. Clint Hurdle told him that there were certain things that he expected of him and that he still expects them of them, and he hasn't given up on him, and he still trusts him to go out and do what needs to be done. He also credited Francisco Cervelli, the Pirates starting catcher, as being one of those guys that was really encouraging him and keeping him engaged and keeping him fired up and ready to go in order to get that save on Sunday. And he gave both of those men a lot of credit through the interpreter, Mike Gonzalez, in the clubhouse. But pitcher's week review, Richard Rodriguez, a really rough start to the week. He follows it up with three appearances of a scoreless inning apiece and three strikeouts altogether and earns a save against the Reds on Sunday. Moving on, I want to go to one of those crazy moments, and we'll call it a moment that stood out from the past week. And this is the most obvious of the group of things you can talk about from the last 7 days. I mentioned Josh Bell's 474-foot home run Sunday against the Reds. Here's why that particular act was important, because if you go back through what happened Sunday, of course, there's the whole situation with Chris Archer and Derek Dietrich, who hits a two-run home run against Archer, admires it probably a little bit too long as it sails out of the stadium and bounces into the Allegheny River. Of course, Archer gave him a little bit of a glare as he rounded the bases. Francisco Cervelli gave him a glare as he crossed the plate. Dietrich comes back up in the fourth inning. Chris Archer throws behind him. The umpire warns both benches. David Bell, the Reds manager, did not like it. He comes out fired up. The Reds come out of their dugout. Pirates come out of their dugout. Bullpen's clear. Big fracas goes on. We see Yasiel Puig probably do his best rendition of the rumble from West Side Story. I've never seen a guy get that loose and have that many opportunities to hit people and hit no one, which I thought was interesting, but that's beside the point. Anyway, you see that entire situation unfold the way it did, and you see the Pirates, who were actually trailing at that point, continue to chop wood and come back into that game, and then it's Josh Bell delivering that home run, that 474-foot blast, to put the Pirates ahead, and he just hit it out of the ballpark. My favorite part of that entire sequence was seeing the replay of the Pirates' dugout and seeing the players react and going, whoa. They all just saw how the ball left the bat and how it kept climbing. It looked like it wasn't going to come down until it went over the batter's eye in center field. Fourth longest home run in PNC Park history. That should tell you enough about that moment. So for this week's moment that stood out, we're going to go with Josh Bell's 474-foot home run against the Reds that really brought the Pirates back and got them back in a game and put them ahead in a game where a situation with Chris Archer and Derek Dietrich really could have gone against them. But Josh Bell found a good moment to get his team back in, and he was totally fired up coming around third base and was engaged with his teammates in the dugout after that big clout. Now, with all that said, a couple things that we probably need to get to. I mentioned the game against the Cubs, the first game of that series. It does harken back to something that's been discussed a lot throughout the course of the offseason. It's something I talked about in this same space with Jason. There was the elephant in the room. I kept referring to it as the elephant in the room. What was going to happen with the shortstop situation? How was it going to pan out? Well, we knew the two options going in were Eric Gonzalez and Kevin Newman. We're 8 games in now? And we look at this and we say, probably not the result that we're looking for. It's just say 9 games in now. But probably not the result we're looking for from either player. With Kevin Newman, today's game, those three errors look really, really bad, especially after he had that game-winning RBI against the Reds Saturday. That was his first walk-off RBI to win a game. So he was pretty much on a high note, comes into this game, actually had a pretty good first plate appearance. He got a really good piece of a ball. Maybe the wind pushed it down in the outfield and kept it from being a home run in the left center field gap. But then the second inning comes around. He has the first error with two outs. That leads to a couple runs, and he has two more errors, and it just compounds all of it. By the time Jameson Taillon's stat line was done, he gave up 6 runs, and none of them were earned. And a lot of that was due to the efforts of Kevin Newman and the failure to just secure one out to end an inning. So a really, really bad day that counts against Kevin Newman's balance sheet, if you will. Meanwhile, Eric Gonzalez, there's been a couple debits. There's been a couple credits. We've seen some interesting plays in the field that did not go his way. We've seen some interesting plays in the field that have gone his way. We've seen some pretty competent moments at the plate, but they've also been mixed with some incompetent moments at the plate and maybe some incompetent moments on the base paths that may count against him. And this is one of those things you deal with, one of those growing pains dealing with a young player who does not have a lot of experience. He's going to have these problems here and here, there. And this is the question that it really comes back around to. Do you have that margin of error if you're the Pirates? Being this team, knowing that wins are going to be so hard to come by, they're going to come at a premium. Can you afford to really have that critical position in your defensive alignment turned over to two players who don't have a lot of experience, or giving those guys regular at-bats every day? And that's the concern that a lot of people have had. I'm of the belief, especially when it comes to this fan base, there are a lot of things that get tossed around and get bandied about and get argued over and scrutinized and thoroughly criticized year after year. I'm of the belief that of those group of things that consistently gets harped on, whether it's payroll, whether it's free agency, there are a couple things, there may be a couple small nuggets in that entire cornucopia of things that kind of gets argued about. A couple of those things are legit things to be concerned about. This offseason, shortstop was one of those things, and it was a legitimate thing to be concerned about. I don't think that changes over the next couple months, depending on what these two young men do. So that's something that's going to be a critical point of discussion probably as we go throughout the season. So as we look at that shortstop position, let's keep an eye on what happens with Eric Gonzalez and Kevin Newman. Right now, it's probably Eric Gonzalez by default. Newman has not had a lot of opportunities, and that first game against the Cubs does not help his cause very much at all. We talked about the matchup with the Pirates and Cubs in these remaining two games. Thursday, you have Jose Quintana on the mound, the left-hander for the Cubs, facing Joe Musgrove. You remember Joe Musgrove from last season at PNC Park. Of course, there was that game against the Cubs. Tossed a pretty good game against Chicago. Also made his mark at the plate and on the base pass. If you remember him sliding into Javier Baez, trying to break up a double play. Endeared himself to a lot of those old school Pirate fans. I think newer school Pirate fans, younger fans, kind of like him because of his ability to gut his way through some of those games. The Chicago game was one of those games where he pitched pretty well. His first start of the season, I thought, was tremendous against Cincinnati last Friday night. I thought he pitched really, really well. Strikes out eight batters in seven innings. He just looked very, very good. A healthy, efficient Joe Musgrove can really tip this pitching rotation in the right direction. You know what to expect from Jameson Taillon. You know what to expect from Trevor Williams. You kind of know what to expect from Chris Archer. But if Joe Musgrove is healthy and efficient, he can really push things in a completely different direction. So it's Quintana versus Musgrove. There are two batters that I've picked out for each pitcher that I'm going to look at as matchups. For Jose Quintana, the guy I'm looking at for him to be a problem against Quintana is Corey Dickerson. In his career against Quintana, he's faced him 11 times. He has hits in five of those plate appearances, including a double and a home run, hitting .455 against Quintana in his career. On the other side, Starling Marte, 2-for-12 against Quintana with a walk and three strikeouts in 14 plate appearances. So that's one guy who could be a problem for Quintana, and another guy he might have an advantage against. For Musgrove, two batters in particular I'm paying attention to. They're both pretty dangerous on any given day. One of them is Anthony Rizzo. Against Musgrove, in 10 plate appearances, he's 0-for-7 with a couple of walks. However, Musgrove has not struck Rizzo out. So maybe that's one of those matchups that could go the other way. If you see Rizzo maybe eke out a couple hits here against Musgrove on Thursday, it could really just be the luck of the draw as far as putting the ball in play, considering the fact that Musgrove has not struck him out. The other one is Javier Baez. This is a guy that tortures a lot of teams over the course of his career just by doing some of the smaller things, by some of the ways he makes plays defensively, things he does on the base pass, and he's pretty dangerous at the plate. However, against Joe Musgrove, 1-for-9 in his career. He has driven in one run, but with a strikeout. So that's another matchup I'm looking at with Joe Musgrove, both against Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez. For Jose Quintana, looking at the matchup against Corey Dickerson and Starling Marte. That is it for the table setter for the week of April 8th. I'm Josh Taylor. Really great to talk to you guys again, and we will talk to you again soon. You have been listening to the Bucko Cast. See you soon.